Hello and welcome to Plottress.
This is Meg.
This is Lane.
And today we're talking about The Lady Plays with Fire by Susanna Craig.
This was just published in 2024 and is the second book in the Good's Guide to Misconduct series.
And we have reviewed the first book in the series and the prequel novella, which, fun fact, if you haven't been able to find the prequel novella, but you liked the first book, it is included in this book. So you can buy this book and you also get the prequel novella at the same time. And full disclosure, we did receive a complimentary ARC of this book.
So the book jacket?
Let's do it.
As the daughter of a clergyman, Julia Addison knows she'll never be able to fulfill her lifelong dream of acting on the stage. But writing forthright reviews of the season's most popular plays for Mrs. Good's magazine for Misses, popularly known as Good's Guide to Misconduct, is surely the next best thing. Even better, she's got a ticket to Ransom Blackadder's latest irritating satire about English society. Best of all, she's sharing a theater box with the gruff but handsome Lord Dunstane, which is enough to make Julia call for an encore.
Graham MacKay, the Earl of Dunstane, rarely leaves his home in the Scottish Highlands. Why would he? Nothing about London has ever held his interest, until he meets Julia. But when Graham realizes she is the critic who panned his last play, and she discovers he is, in fact, the man behind Blackadder's wicked pen, will it bring down the curtain on their romance? Not to mention the magazine that published the humiliating review? Or can an unexpected collaboration set the stage for a scandalous love affair? I think that there were one too many M dashes in the final paragraph.
This is not a very good jacket.
No, but you do know what you're going to get, right? Kind of.
Sort of.
Yeah.
I think this underplays the types of plays he writes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it also underplays how, like, inappropriate her writing for this women's magazine is.
Yeah.
Like, that's really the core of who they both are, is the book jacket underemphasizes how scandalous his participation in these specific types of plays is, and underemphasizes just how much trouble she'd be in for writing it. So it essentially underemphasizes both of their, like, main issues when they meet.
Yes.
Well, and I'd rather see more of that than this, like, and someday she's going to find out he's really that guy.
Yeah. Well, Lane, I think that in our 16-word summaries, we were able to capture a lot of that. Okay. As usual, we generated a random number between 1 and 50, and then we wrote our own summaries using that number as a word count. And for this episode, like I said, that number is 16. So I will say the one thing that both of our summaries and the official book jacket have in common is that we really go for the theater idioms. So I'll go ahead and go first. It's curtain up when Julia, theater critic, and Graham, playwright, meet cute in a theater box.
Very cute. Yes.
What about you, Lane?
Writing plays saved Graham's pile and gave him purpose. Critiquing them has given Julia purpose. Scene.
Anyway, this is a really fun book. I really like Susanna Craig just in general. Like, I really like her lower angst books. I'm enjoying them.
I was talking to a friend. I was on vacation this weekend. About this book, and Susanna Craig is one of those authors who I feel like I damn the most for being almost perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think I really like her books, and I really like the concepts, and I really like how low angst they are. But they end up being more forgettable to me than they should be. And I often feel like the third act, like, as the book gets them closer to being together, what's keeping them apart feels more and more annoying. Like, ratchets up in importance in a way I don't feel is necessary. And I think that's kind of been a trend through her books. I say all of that to say, my criticisms come from a place of how much I enjoy them. And I think this was my favorite of hers so far for me.
I really liked this one. My favorite one is Better Off Wed. That's been my favorite so far. And it helped that the hero of that book appeared in this one as a secondary character. I will say one of the things that Susanna Craig does is that she has set all of her books in the same universe. So similar to like Sarah McLean, mm-hmm. You and I started not with her very first series, but with her second series. And this is her third series. And this one worked, I think, partially for me because she was referring back to a book I had read. The first book in the series, you could tell that she had written books about other secondary characters, and we had not read them. And they weren't fair, part maybe of that that's series. Where
that feeling of disconnect came from for me.
Yeah. And so I do feel like this one was a little more complete because I knew who Jeremy was, and like mm-hmm. I could connect to that. At the same time, that book, that Better Off Wed, that Jeremy was in, there was a part of that book where his mother, who you meet in this book, is also Julia's mother. Julia and Jeremy are siblings. She had like this long lost love who suddenly reappeared, and we're like, wait, what? Huh? Now? What happened here? Mm-hmm. So at least that didn't happen here.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this one. Like I said, it everything about it worked for me. And because I thought it was so good, I just am trying to put my finger on what the missing piece is that is keeping it from being like a new favorite. Because there's something and I don't know what it is.
Yeah. Let's talk about the tropes. I mean, the big one that you, me, and the book jacket all talked about is that he's a writer, she's a critic.
Yes.
And I feel like at this point, this is a trope.
It is. And it's underscored by the fact that they both have secret identities. So the Earl of Dunstane is not a known playwright. And Julia is not a known critic. But mise-en-scene and Ransom Blackadder are notorious.
Yes. Yes. Yep, they sure are. Let's see. Yes. And then I feel like this is a trope at this point, that there's like the secret author or secret contributor to a woman's magazine in particular.
I mean, lady journalist is lady definitely journalist. A trope. And generally speaking, lady journalists are using some sort of pen name or pseudonym. But I do feel like an increasing number of them in the current discourse are run by women, if not specifically targeted at women.
Mm-hmm.
He was never meant to inherit. So, super sad, tragic orphan. Mother died in childbirth after two sisters had died. Father died tragically young. Older brother inherited, but ran the entire estate and title into even more ruin than the father had. He dies tragically young, leaving our hero with a pile of debt and mostly dead family. And because they have no money, the youngest brother enlists in the army. And of course, he tragically dies mere moments before our hero would have been able to buy him out of his commission.
So pretty tragic.
Five dead siblings, two dead parents, man is alone in the world with no one but an overworked manservant to keep him company.
Yeah, Graham is definitely one of those heroes who, you know, he's alone in the world.
Yes. Right?
Yeah.
One of the questions that this book made me think about, and it's always so weird. This book made me think a lot about how he was so bullied in school, he claimed because he was Scottish.
Mm-hmm.
And a piece of me does wonder at, like, how real that would have been. Like, don't get me wrong, kids bully people over dumb shit. So I'm sure there has been an attendee at Eton or Harrow bullied for their accent. But how othered would members of the Scottish peerage have been in those schools? Because I do get the sense a lot of Scottish peers attended them.
Yeah.
So I just wonder, like, because every time you see a Scottish peer who had to go to one of those schools, he was othered for being Scottish. And I just wonder how ubiquitous that was.
Yeah. I mean, it's ubiquitous in historical romance.
Right. I'm wondering if it was also ubiquitous in real life, or if we just have every bullied Scot ever.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, at least this one wasn't forced into prostitution.
It's something.
He found an unconventional way of funding the estate. That's that he published these plays. He's a playwright.
I sort of loved this book happens well after he's established himself as a playwright. So you only really get this backstory as exposition. But he basically says he published the plays as a personal catharsis without any like intent that they would be what saved the estate.
Mm-hmm.
And then they did.
Right.
So I sort of like that this wasn't like established as an deliberate mercenary endeavor and like monetizing his art. That happened as a byproduct, and it like is part of what is increasing his resentment toward the whole thing. Well,
I do love it too, because he writes this like scathing satire and doesn't expect it to be popular. And he's almost like angry at the people who are making it popular. Because he's like, no, I'm making fun of you, asshole. You know?
And now he just keeps feeding the beast because the beast is feeding him.
Right, right, right. I really like that.
Yes. And Julia is a clergyman's daughter unexpectedly brought into the upper 10,000. So her brother, as Meg mentioned, was the hero of an earlier tale, was someone never meant to inherit through the, like, all 12 random extended family members died. So super not expected to become a peer. And so now she is a Viscount's sister when she only ever expected to be a small town clergyman's daughter.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's talk about the book. I mean, this book is really fun.
I really had a good time.
Right? I don't know. I do love these. Like, I do realize that there are some stakes involved with these hidden identities, right?
Right.
But they're not like the highest stakes in the world. So these are like low stake hidden identities. We're not talking spies who are going to get killed if these identities are revealed, right?
Right.
We're not even talking about, you know, them being all that ostracized from society. Like, Julia's, you know, she's already on the outskirts. He's an earl. He's going to be fine if he's revealed as Blackadder, you know?
Yeah, she might be a Viscount's sister, but she's currently working as a lady's companion.
And it's to someone who really likes her. She's not going to fire her if she finds out, right?
Right. And he's kind of a recluse.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's one of the things I love about Susanna Craig is, like, some authors make the decision that their hero is going to have been a rake and he will reflect a lot on his conquests. Susanna Craig made the choice of, like, I'm going to tell you that society perceives him as a rake, but you're never going to know whether or not he really was one.
Mm-hmm.
Or whether he's just got a sharp tongue and a willingness to elude.
Yeah.
Like, I love that it was kind of left part of the mystery of his character, and I mean that very sincerely.
Yeah, no, and I honestly, me too, I just love that it wasn't, and it wasn't this big deal for her either. Like, is he a rake? Is he going to be faithful to me? Like, it wasn't, that was not the angst in this book.
Like, yeah, he said a lot of scandalous things to her about, like, how he'd leave her satisfied, essentially, and, like, really overstepped. But whether or not that's because he was in the practice of doing that sort of thing, or whether it's because he just inherently says the most absurd thing with his playwright's brain was, like, left up to interpretation. And Julia sort of interprets it as he talks a bigger game than he lives.
And I think I kind of agree with Julia.
Me too.
Gotta be honest here, you know? Yes. Okay. So we played this up. The book jacket plays it up. This is a whole part of the book. The book plays it up. So he's searching for the critic who did not pan his play entirely, which is kind of interesting. So... The legit critics out there who write under their own names, we assume, are saying that his plays are terrible. And this just increases the public's desire to go see them. And Julia is the only critic who's sort of seen through the facade. And she sees that he's very talented, but that these plays are just super resentful. And she's like, if Blackadder wrote something with a little bit of authenticity or sincerity, he could be a really great playwright, is what she says. And he's like, I got to find this woman or this critic and take them down because this is going to ruin me. I mean, it's ridiculous, but it also kind of makes sense.
Oh, and then he internalizes this one review to such a degree, he decides his next play is going to be a very thinly veiled rebuttal.
Yes.
And this was It's so weird. It was both the weakest and the strongest part of the book to me, because the scenes of the two of them together in the theater sparring, sort of teaching acting lessons, was so much fun. But I did roll my eyes a little bit at what an ingenue she was.
And I
did find some of the dialogue of the fake play to be a little bit weird. I know it was supposed to not be good, so like, I'm not criticizing it for being not very good, because that was kind of the point.
Right.
But I don't necessarily think that Susanna Craig had actually plotted out the whole play.
No, absolutely not. I mean, and also to be fair to Susanna Craig, neither had Blackadder. It was being changed.
Neither had Blackadder.
Like, up until like opening day.
I don't necessarily know that leaving in quite so much messy script served the book.
Right. Okay, how did they meet? How did their alter egos meet? Or not their alter egos. How did their actual personas meet? How did they actually meet? I also really liked this part, right?
Yes, me too. Oh, this was a high. Like, what a good meet cute.
So good. So Julia is the theater critic for Good's Guide to what is it called? Good's Guide to Good's Mrs. Magazine
Good's
for Misses.
Guide. Yeah, whatever.
Yes, Good's Magazine for Misses. And so she's got to have season tickets to the play. She's got to have season tickets to all of the plays that she can go see. And so at this one theater, her companion, or the woman to whom she is the companion, has bought or reserved a box for the season. Mm-hmm. And they go to watch the opening night of this play. And
which, to be clear, is not a Ransom Blackadder production. It's nope. Just the random opening night show for the theater.
Just a theater, an opening night play. And the box is already taken by Graham, the Earl of Dunstane.
And it comes out, this is very early, but very funny. So feel free to skip 30 seconds ahead if you truly want to be spoiler free, but it does not matter to like the main plot. It turns out that the theater manager had double booked, essentially double sold the box, this particular box for the season, and pocketed the difference.
Yep.
Because Lord Dunstane was so rarely in attendance.
He's like, what are you doing here? But then because he's kind of forced to be chivalrous, he's like, fine, you can share the box with me, right?
Right.
And so we have a little bit of this close proximity because they attend shows together. Not on purpose, not on purpose. Like, maybe they are trying to be together, maybe they're not. Her aunt, she's not actually her aunt, but she's been asked to call her the aunt. She's her aunt by marriage. The person that she's a companion to is obviously trying to throw the two of them together as well, right?
Yes.
It's like, oh, well, if we can share a box with an Earl for the entire season, maybe Julia will, you know, end up with him, which she does. Mm-hmm. So again, older women are not stupid in these books.
I really enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed the aunt.
Yep. She was great. She was great. She's not. Yes, I loved her. Okay. So I really liked it. You also may have assumed, as I did, that the conflict to this book was going to be that they both had secret identities that they were keeping from the other. I thought Susanna Craig did something very interesting here, in that she also played into that assumption on the reader's part. But it turns out that the ultimate conflict is not the secret identities.
Right. While certainly they need to fess up and be honest with one another, and sort of the distance they are keeping from one another because they are trying to hide their secret identities is a conflict. It is not the conflict.
Yeah. And so I actually thought this was really clever and really fun. And it worked for me the way that Susanna Craig played with this trope, played with the reader's expectations.
I totally agree.
I don't want to give away what exactly happens because I absolutely was not expecting it, had no idea what was going to happen. And on the one hand, that worked for me, that I had no idea what was going to happen. Did I think it was a little ridiculous what did happen? Yeah, but I had fun with it though.
But Jeremy was there.
Yeah, Jeremy was there too, which I loved. I loved it. Jeremy's such a good hero.
Yeah.
And he was such a good brother in this book too. Like, I'm sorry, was he not great?
Obviously.
Thank you. Obviously. I also think she's just really funny.
She is.
Right? Like, Susanna Craig is, she's just really funny. Like, two particular books or particular parts in the book that I thought were really funny. She literally thinks, she's like, okay, so I've decided that I'm going to sleep with him and that's sinful, right? I've decided that I'm going to be with this guy and I know that that's a terrible sin, but would it be, would it make it any worse if I enjoyed sleeping with him? Because she's basically, I made the decision to like be bad, but it's not going to be worse for me if, you know, I'm going to do this bad thing and have fun while I do it, right?
Right.
I don't know. I just thought it was really funny. And then the other thing, and again, this is poking fun, I think, at the romance genre, but in the kindest possible way, which I loved. Basically, they're in an intimate scene and Julia asks him what his first name is, because, of course, no one tells anyone what their Christian name is in these books until they're intimate with each other. And he says his name is Graham. And she's like, oh, of course, it just sounds just like a growl. I thought it was so funny. Like, I actually laughed, I think, out loud.
I really enjoyed a lot of that. I will also say this book left me wanting way more in the series.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm frustrated because I know Mrs. Good's book is going to be the last one.
Uh-huh.
But the next one is going to be the illustrator.
Yep.
And I just want Mrs. Good's book.
Mrs. Good. Wink, wink. Yeah, me too. Yeah, I that will be a fun one, I think. But yeah, that's going to be the last one for sure.
Yeah, I think the one thing, I wish there'd been a little bit more of the two of them outside of the theater interacting. Mm.
Yeah.
Like, I get that that was supposed to be such a big part of their whatever, but I kind of think he went from playing a part around her to breaking down all of his defenses and bearing all really quickly. I think that may be the thing that I really thought this book was missing, was like, I didn't necessarily think their falling for each other was all that believable. It felt like, yeah, it set up a lot of the ways they would hypothetically be compatible, and then it was like all in.
That's fair. I mean, for me, the part of the book that I didn't love is that she decides early on. So when I said that she's decided to sin, it's because she's decided that she wants to protect Good's magazine.
Yeah, that was a little bit weird.
That part, and I like, I see what Susanna Craig is doing. Like, she's trying to get these characters to get together. She wants to give them a reason to be together. Right. But I thought it would have been perfectly fine if they just happened to think the other one was hot because they were in the theater box all the time together, you know?
Right.
So I don't think it was necessary.
I agree with that assessment.
But like, honestly, I really liked it though. Like, I had a lot of fun reading this book.
Yes.
Are there any content warnings?
The only one, I think it's minor, but a lot of this plot does hinge on him underestimating her and women more broadly. So, like, at the very beginning, he doesn't believe it's possible that mise-en-scene is a woman, let alone a young woman. And, like, part of the joke is how quickly he is disproven and how excellent Julia is. Mm-hmm. But it's casual sexism being thrown around, and so it doesn't bother me, given the context of the wider plot, but I think it's worth mentioning.
Yeah. I will mention one other thing, which is that there's a little bit of violence on scene. I don't think it's very serious. It's more threatening with violence, but there is someone who threatens them with a knife. So it's like attempted knife violence, basically. Sexiness.
I am going to just be really honest. I feel like we have been reading things that are either not steamy enough lately or just like absurd. I'm not counting Ice Planet's Barbarians as steamy. You know what I mean? So like some of this may just be coming from where I'm at in my life and my reading journey right now. But I did want a little more heat given like how crackling the onstage chemistry was supposed to be. And like it was really building up this, like they can't resist each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fact that when they finally did get together, it felt, I don't know, it just wasn't as crackling or explicit as I was hoping for. But what was there was good.
I liked, so there's only one scene. That's the thing with Susanna Craig. I think this follows the Susanna Craig pattern, which is that there's some kissing. And then there's like one full scene, which is pretty sexy. Like I thought the scene was very sexy. And she but came like five times.
All the conflict is even out, let alone resolved.
Right. But then that's it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're not wrong. Would have been totally fine with having a little bit more on there. What was there gets two thumbs up for me.
Right, like I have no critique about what was there, but I wanted a lot more heat.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the theater is a great place to bang.
Yeah, they never banged in the theater.
Mm-mm. They had a box to themselves. Just, you know,
for its intended purpose.
Look, we have both read a lot of opera makeouts, and there should have been one. There should at least have been one in this book. That's all.
A couple of times where he refuses to kiss her in the opera.
That doesn't count, obviously. So
I'm making the saddest face you've ever seen.
It's a very sad face, you guys.
I really enjoyed this. I think I'm being nitpicky about all the things, because overall, like, I had so much fun.
Yeah, this is a super fun book. If you like lowish angst books that are self-aware, I think this book is very self-aware. And you like romance, but you like romance that knows it's a romance, check this one out.
Totally agree.
Thank you so much for listening.